Hey, everybody, welcome into another edition of Future Brew right here on maizeandbrew.com. My name is Vaughn Lozon, and joining me today, the dynamic duo of Michigan football and basketball recruiting, John Simmons and Steven Ossentoski. Buckle in, everybody. We're about to dive into some more football recruiting today. John, how you doing today, my friend? Everything good with you?
Yeah, I'm good. Started the new job today, so that was fun getting into the swing of things.
Well, congratulations on the new gig, and we're very happy that you're able to continue here with us on the podcast and with Maize and Brew, and we wish you the best with your new position. Steven, how are you doing, my friend?
Not as exciting as John. I'm just here working from home, same old, but yeah, got some ice on my shins, been up in the running regimen, so I'm feeling it today, feeling the fatigue.
Man, I haven't ran in probably 3 weeks. My ankle's been bumming me out here a little bit, Steven. So I feel your pain, not quite the shin splints, but, you know, we've all been there. So I'm right there with you in the wounded category. Hopefully we can get back into the swing of things with that soon. But nonetheless, today we are going to hone in on all football recruiting. And this segment here, we're going to do a little deep dive into the world of defensive tackle recruiting, which has been quite the interesting position for Michigan in this 22 class. Interior defensive line, it was a need last cycle. It's still a need this cycle, even though they had a good haul in 21. But up to this point in this 22 class, you could really argue that Michigan only has maybe one defensive tackle, and that would be in-state three-star Devontae Miles, but he very well could end up being an end in Michigan's defensive scheme by the time it's all said and done. So this position is going to be one of the big remaining needs down the stretch here in this class. And they've recently expanded their board a little bit as they wait for the likes of Walter Nolan, five-star, number one overall player, at his position to make his decision. And that decision probably will not come for a long while. And they still are waiting on Deion Walker as well, who is a three-star in-state defensive tackle, could be an offensive tackle as well. So as I said, they've expanded their board, and let's do a little deep dive into some of these guys. Let's start with a couple guys who are confirmed to be visiting Michigan in the very near future, one of which is three-star defensive tackle Isaiah Hastings. He's locked in an unofficial visit to Michigan for the barbecue at the Big House, which has taken place on Saturday, July 31st, so just in a couple weeks here. He's listed at 6'4", 290. He is from Canada, but is going to be playing his senior year in the state of Florida, so he has yet to take a snap of high school football in the United States, but the staff and several other schools have taken a chance on him after seeing him on the camp circuit this summer. Another player that they have recently offered in a camp setting is Robbie Harrison. He is 6'3", 285 from the state of South Carolina, and he has already locked in an official visit to Michigan for a game this September, the one specifically against Northern Illinois. Up to this point, it's the only visit he has set up so far, but he does plan on taking other official visits, he told me this past weekend. And he's got some other pretty good offers. He's got one from Georgia. He's got Indiana, another Big Ten school there, Minnesota, Arizona State, few other good ones there. So I'd imagine that some of those schools will be up for consideration to get a visit. And the final player that we'll talk about in this first little segment here is Kenneth Grant. We've talked about him quite often. Big boy along the interior D line. He's 6'4", 335 from the state of Indiana. Recently put Michigan in his top three along with Ohio State and Wisconsin. So battling some Big Ten blue bloods there. And he will also be visiting for the barbecue at the Big House later this month. So, John, that's a mouthful. I'm out of breath. this position, as I said, it's been an interesting one so far in this class, but Michigan's really going to have a shot with each of these three guys if they really want them. Getting them all on campus is a very important step in each of these recruitments. So I'll let you, I'll pass the torch to you, and you can talk about whichever one of these guys or all three if you really want to. The floor is yours, John Simmons.
Well, I would say I think the one guy who's most likely to commit, and I think the guy that I like the most, is Kenneth Grant from Indiana. You know, he's been shooting up the rankings this offseason. He's still unranked on the composite somehow. I don't know how the other sites are missing him, but 24/7 has him as an 88 now, which used to be, I think, like an 84 or an 86 that they bumped up after Ohio State, Michigan, Wisconsin have all shown a lot of interest. And I think simply Ohio State's probably just going to run out of room. They're on a lot of, you know, top 100 type defensive line prospects, as they always will be with Larry Johnson there. So, you know, unless they just want to, you know, stick it to Michigan and take this guy, which is entirely possible for them to do, I think Michigan would be able to beat out Wisconsin for this. I think they're in on him earlier. You know, Wisconsin only offered in early June, and Michigan's been on him for a while. March 9th is when they gave out the offer. So I think if it's just down to those two, I think Michigan wins out. So I think eventually Grant has a good chance to join the class, and at 335 pounds, 6'4", I think he'd be a really good fit for the nose tackle spot in a 3-4 defense.
Yeah, when you read 6'4", 335, you're kind of like, oh man, that guy, he's huge. He needs to lose some weight. But honestly, for the film that I've seen, he's got some pep in his step. I mean, he can really move, get after it. He's not just a gap plugger. I mean, he's a well-rounded defensive tackle, and that unranked designation that he has on the composite will not last for much longer. If it were up to me, at least, I think he's definitely due for a bump. He'll get a composite score at some point. I think it probably will be in the 3-star range to start off. Could he move up? Potentially, for sure. The top three of Wisconsin, Ohio State, and Michigan, to me, I mean, that those are three schools that have had big success along the defensive line over the last, at the very least, half decade, definitely more for Ohio State, and Wisconsin has really been chugging along along the defensive line as well. So really good player there, and interested to see where he ends up on the composite when it's all said and done. So, Steven, I'll turn it over to you. Which of these three guys are you most intrigued in? Because for me, I mean, obviously, I'm with John. I think Grant is probably the best of the three here. But the guy that I'm really interested in seeing more out of is personally is Robbie Harrison at 6'3", 285. He's from South Carolina, is getting camp offers. Michigan and Georgia are the two significant ones there. And these are two schools that obviously have a good tradition of churning out defensive linemen into the NFL and having good players at the college level. And with these two schools, seeing him in a camp setting really makes me believe that he could be a good player too.
Yeah, they all have extremely different, the three names you threw out, Grant, Harrison, and Hastings. They all have very different profiles when you're looking at just like a strict interior defensive lineman. Real quick on Grant, if you have like 36 seconds to watch, go to his recruiting page on, or his Huddle film, and his first three highlights in his film. The first one is a screen pass that he correctly sniffs out, redirects, and runs like 10 yards to catch the running back from behind, which is insane. Second one is he chases a guy down the line of scrimmage to the sideline, takes him out. And then the third is him recovering a fumble and then stiff arming the quarterback into the ground and route to like a 50 yard touchdown. So that at a nose tackle position at 335 pounds, it's one of those like just terrifying films to watch. So, it's the most fun of the three guys to watch, I think, just because, I mean, if I were ranking him, I don't rank, you know, I'm not one to attribute a rank to a guy, but in terms of a guy with his athleticism, his size, I always have like the, and I'm doing air quotes, like you don't find guys like this often. So sure, he may not be a first round NFL pick, but a guy who moves like that at that size and that height, it just doesn't happen. So he's the most fun. And it's looking like Michigan's in a good spot. Crazy, as John said, he doesn't have a profile. Harrison is kind of like the steady pick of the three, where, you know, he's ranked as the 165th defensive lineman, which is way down in 3-star land. I think he has an offer list. You mentioned it, Cincy, Indiana, Minnesota, to be more in the like middle of the pack three star, like 600 or so overall, I would say. But I like his game a lot. He showed more on game film than I saw from Hastings. He does look a little stiff in pursuit, a guy I definitely would want on the interior. I think 3-4 defensive end works well for him much more than a 4-3 defensive end would. So I'd like to have him as that initially, like a strong side defensive end that can slide down into a 5-tech or a 4-tech at times. So he's like an interior focused 3-4 DN, but he has good power, uses his leverage really well in bull rushes. Something that you see almost exclusively in his film, but he does that really well. So he has really good power, good bend in the hips. He generates a lot of power from that. So that's something you don't usually see for high school defensive linemen, but he has that skill set that'll translate really well. So I could talk about Hastings. I talked too long. I can give my kind of thoughts on Hastings if you guys are curious about that.
Yeah, no, go for it. Go ahead.
Okay. So at 6'4", 290, really good frame. That's what pops out the most on his huddle film. It said he has like a 7-foot wingspan, which is just really, really crazy for
that's
a guy.
Absurd. Yeah.
But his game film, just, I didn't see it. So I watched game film and I was like, man, I don't really see what I see from this guy. Like I wasn't that impressed. It was a sophomore film. And then you watch his camp film and it looks like a different person completely. So I don't know if he's been doing a lot of work in the weight room or, you know, through COVID, he put in a lot of work, but he looks way more athletic from this summer's camp film than he did from his sophomore year film. So he's a guy who's definitely going to ascend in the ranks based off of that. And I don't know if there's been a prospect I want to see more game film than him, because he looks closer to like a really high 4-star from his camp film. But his game film, it's like, man, yeah, I don't see, like he seemed appropriately ranked outside the top 100 defensive linemen based off of that. So he's a really interesting, like maybe consistency is the issue, but really, really great frame to work with and way more athletic this summer than I've seen in his other film from a sophomore year.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see how he finishes out his senior season as well. He's certainly a prospect. I mean, honestly, I'll be looking at all these guys, but Harrison and Hastings in particular, I'll definitely be keeping an eye on. I've already seen enough from Grant to warrant my liking for him. John, I'll give you the last word on these three guys and then we'll move on.
Yeah, I think it just kind of speaks to where Michigan's at with their board. I think, you know, it was revealed that Jordan Phillips was a silent commit. Then he ends up at Tennessee. So I think they thought they had, you know, one more guy than they did. So they kind of have to expand the board a little bit. So you're going to see them sniffing around a few different guys here. And I think that's, you know, where guys like Hastings and Harrison show up from.
Well, let's talk about a few more of those defensive tackles that I imagine that you're alluding to that it seems like Michigan has strong interest in. And we'll roll through these guys pretty quickly. And these are all guys who Michigan has interest in, at least according to the Michigan Insider and Sam Webb and those guys over there. And obviously the biggest name of the bunch being 4-star D tackle Derek Shepherd. And he's currently committed to Cincinnati and has been for a while now. He has been committed there for quite a bit, but at the very least, it seems like he's been receptive to what Michigan has been pitching to him as of late. And he's listed at 6'3", 295. He's from Dayton, Ohio, and Michigan offered him back in April of 2020. So he's been on the Wolverines radar for a little while, and he committed to Cincy in December, but his main recruiter from Cincinnati, Marcus Freeman, obviously left and is now with Notre Dame. So there could be a chance to turn this thing around for Michigan. Another player that Michigan has some interest in is 3-star D tackle Sean Washington. And he's 6'3", 297, and is from New Orleans, was committed to LSU, but then decommitted back in January. Michigan offered him last month, And he was supposed to visit in June, but had to cancel that visit and has not rescheduled that yet. So we'll see what happens there. And then the final player who Michigan has made contact with recently is three-star D tackle Cedric Roberts, listed at 6'3", 275 from Texas, and allegedly is making a college decision on July 31st. So we will see if Michigan pulls the trigger with an offer before then and ramps up that recruitment there. So John, I'll throw it back over to you. Which of these three guys are you most intrigued by? Because Shepard's obviously the one at the top as far as ranking goes. Sean Washington at 6'3", 297 is very interesting. Obviously was a take for LSU and still is a take for LSU, but reopen things. And Roberts, I think I don't really see much developing there within the couple weeks that he has until he commits, but you never know with recruiting. Things can always get wacky. So I'll pass it over to you with these three guys in mind.
Yeah, like you said, I think Michigan just got in a little bit too late on Roberts. If he's really deciding on July 31st, I just don't think it was enough time. You know, he hasn't been on campus or anything. So I'm going to say Shepard is the most interesting one to me. You know, I think Michigan probably should have been on him earlier, like as soon as Marcus Freeman left for Notre Dame. I think they should have circled back even then, because like you said, they had offered a long time ago, so clearly there's some interest. But I think he would be a good fit at, you know, 6'3", just under 300 pounds. I think he could play you know, more of the defensive end and maybe move down to nose if he bulks up some more. But I think he'd be a versatile player along the line. And I think he definitely seems open to Michigan so far. You know, he's not turning it down and saying, I'm, you know, totally solid to Cincinnati. He's reciprocating that interest in receiving their pitch as well. So I think there's definitely a chance. Michigan just has to get him up on campus, and then I think all bets are off.
Yeah, I think so too. I do think I agree with you that Michigan should have been on him a lot sooner. I mean, they offered him all the way back in April of 2020, and I can understand why they stopped recruiting him back in December when he committed to Cincinnati. But obviously with Freeman leaving not long after that to go to Notre Dame, they should have turned up the heat right there and then. I think it's too little too late. I think they put too many of their eggs into some of these other baskets for these other D tackles that they just honestly just swung and missed on, with Phillips obviously being the one that you talked about, but Anthony Lucas being another one, four-star guy that they were in on for a while. And then he kind of just turned his head to the Wolverines and went a different direction. So yeah, I agree. I think they kind of whiffed on that one. I think they can get back into the game for Shepard, obviously, but it'll be just a matter of getting him on campus and seeing if they can even do that to begin with. Steven, I'll turn it over to you. The floor is yours for these three guys, but I wanted to ask you specifically just about this position in general. And John kind of talked about it for a split second earlier, is that it's very clear that Michigan is working to get more defensive tackles in this class with just the amount of guys that we've talked about in this segment alone, as they should, because they are in need of defensive tackles. But are you concerned with the lengths that they are going to go, or that they're at least trying to go to get more in this class? I really feel like they're really extending the board in this class. And they've, like I said, they've kind of swung and missed on a few of their top targets in the early goings, but are really trying to ramp it up with some of these guys later in this cycle. Wanted to get your thoughts on those three guys and just that thought that I just threw out at you.
Yeah, I think to address your thought there, I think it's a little concerning that Michigan wasn't involved on kind of the established names. You know, you guys mentioned thinking you're going to have a commit from a player and then he kind of backs off or goes elsewhere, like we saw. So it's a case where that happens all the time in recruiting, and it does seem Michigan's scrambling a bit here to recover that. So I think over the years, defensive line recruiting, you can point at as one of the low points in recruiting for the program overall. So I think that it's been an ongoing concern. I think the positive that I see is it seems to be a deep class in terms of the overall talent within the class of 2022 for defensive linemen. And partially that's because of COVID and not being able to appropriately rank these guys. It could also just be a fact that there's just, you know, a higher number of defensive linemen in this class. So when I watch the film of these guys, like, I still see it. So even though I think the staff could have done a better job of building that board earlier, establishing those relationships, the guys I'm seeing that Michigan has a realistic shot at don't worry me. You know, I could see them in the maize and blue and be like, okay, yeah, I could see what the staff saw in this guy. And it doesn't seem like they're, even though their rankings aren't super high, the skill set I see still warrants a scholarship to Michigan. So guy that popped out to me on film was Sean Washington, because you mentioned he was an LSU commit. I mean, he had LSU, Georgia, Ole Miss, Bama offer. And that's as the number 67 defensive lineman in the class, right? So that's high four-star, you know, even five-star level offer list for a guy ranked outside the top 50 defensive linemen. So at 6'3", 300 pounds, he's another guy where this might just be a thing, Vaughn and John, where I'm just like, I just love nose tackles. I don't know what it is, but man, he's got stack and shed ability. I like his feet. He keeps them moving. He's definitely like a nimble nose, where he fires off extremely quickly. And that's the thing that, I mean, he has 9 minutes of film on Huddle from his junior season, and every single one of these clips, he's firing off extremely quickly and very low and light on his feet. So when you have that level of consistency, excuse me, at that size, that's something that really pops off the film. So he's the guy, you know, you mentioned the decommitment from LSU. If you can get him from SEC territory, that'd be my choice of these three guys. But it's always tough. It's always tough for these guys out of, you know, out of Louisiana. What's the odds of those guys going to the Midwest to play football? It just doesn't seem to happen often. But again, Michigan needs nose tackles, and he's up there with some of the best, up there with Kenneth Grant, in my opinion.
Wow.
But we'll see. We'll see. I do like Derek Shepherd. Everything John said about him, solid hands, get off, and very violent player. So I really like his film as well, but yeah, we'll see.
John, I wanted to get your thoughts, and then we'll move on. Just on, you know, the lengths that they're going with this defensive tackle board, they're really starting to expand things, and you know, I think it's a little concerning too that, yeah, obviously they did have the silent commit in Jordan Phillips, and recruiting happens, and then he ends up being a Tennessee Volunteer commit. So just wanted to get your thoughts on all of that as well, and we'll move forward here.
Yeah, I think Michigan will definitely need to take, you know, two or three more guys on the line to feel comfortable to have that depth. I think the end to the last season cycle really, you know, alleviates a lot of those concerns, but they still need to add a bunch of bodies every year. So, you know, Walker was a good piece. You know, he's shown he's working on his body and improving a lot during the offseason, but they're definitely going to need, you know, a bunch more bodies in there to feel good about the depth of the position.
Yeah, I mean, that's 100% true, because defensive line, it's not like many players at that position are immediate impact guys their freshman season. I mean, you look at even some of the best defensive linemen that Michigan has brought in over the last few years, with Rashawn Gary being the number one overall recruit in his class, and he didn't really make a big impact until his sophomore season. So, but even more so at D tackle, because it takes time for these guys to learn and get into the system and bulk up and get everything down. So yeah, you're right. It's going to be a position of need moving forward for the next, for this cycle, at least. I would imagine that they would probably want to get as many as they possibly can high-end guys in the next cycle too. So it'll be a position to watch. But all right, we will move on here, and we will kind of just reset the board here in this 22 class after the break. But first, let's talk about our latest sponsor here on Maize Brew Podcast, and that is Home Field Apparel, which is a premium collegiate apparel brand based out of Indianapolis. And not only is their stuff comfy, but it's officially licensed gear, so they do not screw around when it comes to their designs. The team over at Home Field, they study every school's history, traditions, legacies, and with all of that, they create their thoughtful designs that tell the unique story of each university, and they've got some amazing Michigan, original Michigan designs that you will not find anywhere else. T-shirts, crew necks, whatever it is you want, they've got it. So if you're looking for some of that vintage apparel, then go to homefieldapparel.com, use that promo code MNB, as in Maize and Brew, at your checkout, and you'll get 20% off your entire first order. Again, homefieldapparel.com. When you get to the checkout, use promo code MNB. Doesn't matter how much stuff you get. You could buy 60 items if you want. You can still get 20% off that whole first order. So go to homefieldapparel.com today.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors in life, whether they be big, small, or anywhere in between. And when we keep those bottled up, it can start to affect us in a negative way. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched up with a licensed therapist, and if for some reason that therapist isn't working out for you, you can switch at any time for no additional charge. Get life's challenges off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/BlockM to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BlockM.
Welcome back, everybody, and we are about 5 months until the early signing period. So let's just do a quick reset of Michigan's 2022 class to wrap up today's podcast. So as of this recording, they are set at 16 commitments. They got 1 5-star in in-state cornerback Will Johnson. They've got a few 4-stars in Mario Eugenio, defensive lineman, Tyler Morris, wide receiver, and Cody Jones, defensive back, and the rest of the commits are in the 3-star range. They did have a couple guys that were in 4-star range drop to 3-star over the last week or so, and Tayshaun Trent was a 4-star. He's a wide receiver, dropped off really tremendously in the rankings, now in the 400 range, and quarterback Jaden Denegal also recently had a fall on the composite score as well, going from a 4-star. He's at number 444 overall now. So the Wolverines in total, they got 1 quarterback, 1 running back, 2 receivers, 2 tight ends, 2 offensive linemen, a couple defensive linemen, a few edge rushing linebackers, and 1 traditional linebacker, 3 cornerbacks, and 0 safeties. So that is all ranked at the number 11 overall class and the number 3 class in the Big Ten per 24/7 Sports's composite. So John, I'll throw it to you. I'd say as of right now, this is a pretty solid class, a good building block for what could be to come for the rest of this class. But at this point, where do you think Michigan, positionally wise, you know, whether it's running back or receiver, whatever, where do you think they've done a really good job recruiting in this 22 cycle, whether they've got a lot of commitments or not? Where do you think they've done a really good job at?
I think they're doing really well at the edge position so far. You know, switching up this defense can be hard, you know, to sell recruits on their new vision without having anything on paper, or anything on the field, only recruiting it on paper. But I think they've done a good job locking in guys that were at the top of their board. You know, Kevontae Henry isn't very highly ranked, but it was reported, you know, Steve Lorenzo, the Michigan Insider, was saying that he was one of their top 2 guys that they really wanted. You know, Eugenio, one of the few 4-stars in the class so far, is also, you know, a really good addition that they made earlier this month. And then they also have, I'm blanking on his name right now. Micah Pollard, who, you know, is listed as a linebacker, but he will probably play the edge for Michigan. You know, I think it speaks a lot to Ryan Osborne, who's an analyst but coaches the edges for Michigan. He's put in a lot of work, and I just think that position's off to a really good start with a lot of upside.
Agreed. I think that's off to a good start as well, and it looks like they're looking to maybe get one more guy on board in this class to round out the edge rushing prospects. But, yeah, good job so far on that position. Steven, I'll just ask you the same question. Where do you think they've done the best at?
I think it's between either cornerback or wide receiver for me. Obviously, Will Johnson, a guy you couldn't miss on in Michigan, luckily did not. I'm high on Miles Pollard, even though he's just within the top 500 at 6'2", 185, some really good hips. I think he's going to be a pretty early contributor for the Wolverines. And this was a position that Michigan couldn't miss on. The depth chart, I just released a video today covering some of the more concerning position groups heading into this season. Cornerback is on that list. So this was a class where you needed to address that. And I think they did. And that's even with Cody Jones, a guy who could potentially be a defensive back as well. So I think they really address cornerback need extremely well. I think they're adding to an already solid wide receiver depth chart with Tyler Morris. You got Tayshaun Trent. I like both of their skill sets. And I think those two positions overall are pretty good. If I had to throw a third position, I really like Marlon Klein and Colston Loveland at tight end. So yeah. I think the offensive side, especially skill positions, are looking really solid for the future.
Yeah, I think my three would be a combination of your and John's answer. I think edge rusher would be up there. Tight end, I was thinking as well, but cornerback is probably my number one for sure. The way that they've recruited that position, they've been very aggressive, and they got things going pretty well with Mo Linguist when he was here, and he passed the torch to Klink, and Klink has done a really nice job cleaning up the mess that Zordich kind of left behind, and obviously Linguist put Michigan in a tough spot when he left. So I think cornerback is in a really good position moving forward, and they're still in on a few guys, so they're not going to go down without a fight with some of these remaining targets that they've got at the cornerback position. So we'll see how that all goes. But John, I'll throw it back to you. Where do you think Michigan needs to do better at? I think there are a few positions here where, for me at least, I'm kind of just scratching my head, and I'll let you guys answer first before I give mine. But where do you think, as of right now, they need to improve at before the time this class is all said and done, John?
The first one that jumps out to me is offensive line. They've got two guys committed so far, Connor Jones and Alessandro Lorenzetti. And I think both of them are pretty raw prospects right now. You know, Jones is pretty low ranked. I think he has a lot of work to do in his technique. You know, you see him put him in the work a lot in the weight room during the off season, but I still think he has a ways to go to fill out that 6'7" frame. And then Lorenzetti, you know, coming from Canada and not playing any American football yet, still has, I think, a good ways to go to unlock his potential. So I think Michigan would do well to add a few more guys that can help them, you know, more immediately than, you know, having to stash them away and unwrapping them when they're juniors or seniors. So I think Michigan has to do better on that front, but there's really not as many targets that they're in on. You know, they're shooting their shot with five-star Josh Connerly, but, you know, it's not always going to be a little unlikely with a five-star from the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
So there's just not a ton of, you know, likely options right now to add to the class, which is a little worrying.
Steven, I'll throw it over to you. Do you agree with John with O-line kind of being one of those top spots? What do you think?
Yeah, it's tough for me because I really like where the depth chart is for that position for Michigan. They did take four last year with Raheem Anderson, Greg Crippen on the interior, and then you brought in Tristan Bounds, and you had one more outside guy, I think, right? Let me check. I'm checking the list right now. Tristan Bounds and Giovanni El Hadi. Yeah. So I think that was a good haul last year. I would like to see them add one interior guy. I'm a little bit bummed we don't have like a, you know, all-star guard committed at this point. So I would say like that's not necessarily worrying, but I would have liked to see at least one high-flying offensive lineman there because, as John was saying, we do have two kind of projects, and you want a good mixture there, having no kind of known commodities for a position group in a class is a little bit worrying. So beyond that, I think safety, a big one. Obviously, Keon Saab, five-star, committed to Clemson. So I was hoping that we would have the ins on a guy in the mold of Dax Hill, right? Dax Hill will be in the NFL next year. So depth at safety position is looking a little scary. As of last year, we only had Rod Moore come in and we don't have any, I guess you could possibly say, I honestly don't know where Cody Jones is going to end up. He could potentially be one of those guys, but I think safety's very concerning because they're a position that doesn't have a whole lot of promise that I see in the future on the depth chart at this point. And then I know linebacker, we have Aaron Alexander and a couple guys like Kevontae Henry, Micah Pollard. Those guys are likely going to be more edge focused guys. So I would like to see at least one more guy that's going to be a linebacker, not like a current linebacker that will probably be an edge. So those would be my positions. Safety and linebacker, I think, are the main ones.
Yeah, safety's been an odd one because it seemed like Dylan Tatum was going to commit eons ago, and he's just been one of those guys that hasn't made his pledge. And obviously the final two being Michigan and Michigan State, and his recruitment just keeps going on and on and on. And we'll, I don't know, wonder if it'll ever end at this point, but it seemed like Michigan was in really good shape, and then it seemed like Michigan State may have taken over his recruitment, may lead even to this day, but still hasn't made a pledge in that recruitment. So we'll see what happens there. Obviously, another guy, Jacoby Albert, being another safety that they're going after. He visited last month, but nothing has really come of that yet. It seems like it's like a Michigan-Auburn recruiting battle there. We'll see how that one turns out, but it seems like I think Cody Jones could play safety if they really need it, but I think with the way that things sounded, at least, it sounded like they wanted him to be more as a cornerback. But yeah, safety's been an odd one. You got to get at least one guy, if not more. And Keon Sabb, obviously committing to Clemson over the weekend, was a bitter pill to swallow for Michigan, because it seemed like things were kind of getting turned around in that recruitment with him visiting on an official level last month, which was kind of a shock to me, because it seemed like at that point Michigan, the ship had kind of sailed, but they got him on the official visit and then ended up committing to Clemson on Saturday. So he's obviously out on the board at this point, but yeah, safety's been an odd one. And yeah, I'm with you guys. Offensive line, I would like at least one more guy in this class, if not two more. And they're going to need some luck if they want Josh Connerly to commit to Michigan. I think he's kind of bound to just stay over in Pac-12 territory, but we'll see what happens. Recruiting, it's an odd thing. That weird things can happen at any time, and we'll certainly see what happens. But John, I'll throw it back to you for the final word here on just this class in general, how it's shaping up, and just your thoughts on everything with this class up to this point.
I would just say put the pitchforks away until the rankings are finalized at the end of the year. Maybe not even then, with all the COVID stuff going on and not being able to evaluate players. I think there's still a lot of movement left to go.
Yeah, I'm with you. I agree. There are a lot of unranked guys Michigan's going after, and a lot of unranked guys that Michigan is going after that a lot of other big time schools are going after. So I agree. Put the pitchforks and torches away. Let things kind of play itself out. Let the high school senior season play itself out, and we'll reevaluate things maybe in December or maybe even February, and when it comes to rankings. So I'm with you there. Boys, we are out of time. Appreciate everybody listening to another edition here of Future Brew. You can follow me on Twitter at Vaughn_Lozon. John, where are you at, buddy?
At Simmons_John.
And Steven?
At Steven Toski.
And give Maize and Brew a like, follow on all our social media platforms. You know how to find us. Give Steven Ossentoski's YouTube channel. It's pretty much his at this point. Maize and Brew, type it in. He's got content left and right. Always doing live streams, it seems like. So go check that out as well. And give all of our podcasts here 5 stars. Subscribe, do all that good stuff. We'd really appreciate it. For John and Steven, I'm Vaughn. We'll be back next week. Go Blue.